My name is Michael Chad St. John. I'm 28 years old. Today's date is July 24th, 2014. We are in the Chicago Cultural Center. And my relationship to my partner is Master Apprentice.
My name is Andrew Freemeyer. I'm 68 years old. Today is July 24th, 2014. We are at the Cultural Center here in Chicago, Illinois. And my relationship to my partner is I am his mentor.
Andrew, when did you know you would become an artist?
Oh my. When I was about four. I was raised in the country. I had flat-bottom boat, tree houses, horses, a great-grandfather that would just show me so many things and take me into the woods, and that's when I very first realized it.
Tell me more about grandfather.
Okay. He came to live with us after his retirement. This would have been about 1949 or 1950. And both of my parents worked. And so he was my primary caregiver. And I was the only child at that time in this house in the country. And we were in our boat one time, this flat-bottom boat, and he would come into the up the river with me and go into my fantasies with me of where we weren't really on this little creek in Michigan. We were someplace fantastic in another part of the world. And we were surrounded by just hundreds and hundreds of dragonflies at one point. And he said to me, I mean, I was terrified. I was a little kid, you know, and they're pretty scary looking. And he just looked at me and he said, "Don't ever be afraid of dragonflies. Look at their wings and just see such beauty. And they only allow beauty in their lives unless you sash your mother. And then they'll sew your lips together." That was the dark side. But he was such a disciplinarian and such a firm believer in honoring my parents. Well, it worked. And he taught me great values, and that was part of it.
And in terms of the stories that he would tell, mm-hmm. and the creativity, you know, and thinking about how he inspired just the creative impulse.
Or yeah, he in brief, my great grandmother on my mother's side was a fine arts painter. And my grandfather himself was a violinist. And so when we would be in the woods, he would often bring his violin and speak to me when we were in the woods and play his violin. And one day we were down by the Wanadoga Creek, which is around our house. We're almost on a peninsula. He said to me, we saw a muskrat swimming upstream with greens in his mouth, and he said, you know, he's taking that to his family in the burrow inside the riverbank. Just watch him. And he went into this little hole with the greens in his mouth, and he said, but in this was in the fall, and he said, it's roasty toasty in there, and there's an ice fire. And so by that point I was perhaps six, and I just instinctively started drawing. And I have early drawings, so of course my mom kept everything. And so then he would validate all of that. And they were pretty rough, but he would validate it anyway. And in 1959, he passed. And I was very young, not a teen yet. And I got in the boat. I missed him, day of his funeral. And I got in the boat and went up to the treehouse. And en route, there were hundreds of dragonflies all around me. And I just put the oars upon my little wooden boat, and you can hear them clunk. I can hear them clunk now on the wooden boat and hear the water. It was a smooth-running creek, not a fast-running rapids, and gently began to go downstream. And I just enjoyed them. They were all over the boat. They landed on the boat on me and all parts of my body and hair. And I just enjoyed it for several minutes, and then I said, "Grandpa." And they just all flew away. I feel his presence right now.
And these are the stories that I've heard many times over the years. And for me, it's generated this notion, this feeling. And the best way that I can describe it in terms of going to your house and seeing the creek is, I always call it my Bradbury summer, Ray Bradbury.
Yes.
short story or almost dandelion wine-esque. Mm-hmm.
While my father made wine.
Yeah. And it's inspiring to me, too, to think about these stories, and especially about dragonflies and how they've popped up in our relationship.
That first show we had, Mentor and Apprentice,
yeah.
That with the banners and the whole, I mean, it was a real exhibit. Mm-hmm. And you were outside speaking with guests, and I was inside with a painting we had just finished, the one that Dr. Maduri purchased, mm-hmm. and then is now at Miller College. Mm-hmm. And there was a dragonfly on the side of the canvas inside the building, the specific type of dragonfly.
Yeah.
And I sent someone out to get you. Mm-hmm. And what are the chances that a dragonfly would stay there 6 or 7 minutes, as long as it would take to get you inside?
Right.
And it did, and you saw it, and we got it photographed. And that's really all that it took. And then poignantly so, a couple of years ago when my mom passed, I hadn't seen this type of dragonfly in a long time. And as you know, mom passed at our house and at the home in which she and dad designed and literally built. And the day she passed, there was a very large dragonfly on one of the shrubs along the walk that I hadn't seen this variety in 20 years. Mm. And another person was helping that day, and I said, "Please, quick, get my camera." And I just stayed there right with it, and it took several minutes, and it never flew, and I got that. So there is, and one of my first businesses in Maine was named Dragonfly,
right.
Because I would have fine arts and fine crafts from Maine craftsmen, and I wanted it to have that affinity and feeling from and spirit and soul of my grandfather. Mm. And it did. And it was magical. Just the other day I received an email from friends in Maine asking about dragonfly.
So I know that we're in the future, we're in the past, we're in all sorts of areas, and I want to go back to talking about when we first met.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe how we met?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was artist in residence through the Kellogg Foundation at your school, your then school, Battle Creek Central High School. And our administrator, Lorraine Cowie, had requested that I have 3 specific individuals working with me. And at that point, we didn't have a studio yet, you may recall. And my introduction to you was in a walk-in basement of our public library.
Oh, that's right.
And you were 14. Mm. And almost as, well, I knew you had it then. I just knew it. But you didn't know that. You're 14. At 14, I didn't know. No one knows at 14.
No.
And so I thought it would frighten you if I said that, and I didn't really quite know how to describe that to you as having it, but I knew it. And the others were good in the project as well, but we had this opportunity to create a genuine mobile with physics and all, involving physics, involving math, and a piece for the communications center that was grant-funded, everything. So we needed for this to work. And so I walked you through the process. We visited the space. We discussed things, because of insurance reasons. We couldn't, and equipment, we couldn't really build it. So it was more of a collaboration effort with not only the school and the students, but with the manufacturer, which, as when you become a large-scale professional sculptor or even painter, sometimes you, life is collaboration. Mm. You don't do it just by yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I thought this would be a great experience to bring you in on that process. And so we did build a model, scale, precise model, which still hangs in the administration building. And no one knows that that model is foam core, but it's out of harm's way, mm-hmm. and you can still see it. So that visiting the site, assessing the needs, the theme of the piece, Pathways, which makes educational connection through your career is possible, anyone's career, but doing it in an abstract form so that you feel it, much like our paintings. Mm-hmm. You feel, you're given, you assess a situation, you digest that situation, and then you create what you want the painting to feel like. Well, we did that in a structural, physical form, with discussing with the librarian, with other people in education, and then really knowing the path anyway, mm-hmm. and then designing this piece and going from there.
And I remember, too, in terms of assessment at that point, now, mind you, I was 14, 15.
14, yeah.
And I remember being in the media center, and we tell this story.
Yes.
You know, many times, but this idea of if I had it, that I was going to be an artist and a maker. I wasn't aware of it at that point. And I remember you talking about where this mobile is going to go, and it's
$14,000.
$14,000. This thing is in steel suspended above people that would be reading books or going up the stairs. And I just thought to myself, I am... And I said this to you.
I said, I asked you.
You asked how I am.
How do you feel?
How do I feel? And I said that I am terrified.
But you said it with a straight face.
Very straight face.
And very professional at 14.
Yeah.
And you said it quietly. Mm. And if somebody would have not spoken English, they would have never dreamed what you just said to me.
Right.
You said it very, very professionally, you know. And what did I say in return?
You said, that's all right. It's okay to feel that way.
It's healthy.
Yes. But know that we're going to move forward. And,
yes.
And this type of feeling is part of the process.
That's right.
And
I'm that way with every single new piece.
Right.
And I'm almost 70.
Yeah. Well, and this, and it's been, I always reflect back to that story because I too, whether it be a performance or a video piece or a sculpture or a painting, I always have that sense of
terror,
but
exhilaration.
But and it turns into exhilaration. I think it matures into exhilaration. Mm-hmm. I feel like
quickly,
mm-hmm. and that is
and then back to terror,
right? But that's the fuel in which we move
thrive.
To make things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think is just great.
You will experience, Michael, in your life that, you know, we were speaking of people that I met today, just out of nowhere, that you have met in your life out of nowhere. But today, those people, those stories aren't necessarily important. But what it does is that you will realize that people gravitate toward you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for information, if it's for affirmation, if it's for confidence, if it's for assistance, because they're confident in you.
Mm-hmm.
And they want part of that confidence. People have said to me, and I don't mean this to be egocentric, but they say they want a piece of Andrew. Well, they want a piece of Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an ego statement. That's confidence. And that's also, I am so thankful that's how it's interpreted. I remember when I was 16, I had my first job away from the horses at home. And my employer, now remember, I'm 16 and I know it all. That's all
right.
There is to it.
Of course.
And I was chronically late that first week, and he called me in and said something about it. And I came home at supper that evening and was saying it to my mom. You know, I just don't understand Mr. Taylor. You know, he's blah, 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 blah. You know, he's all upset about it. And it was going on that about it. And mom was just quiet. Mom was in upper management herself. And she listened to everything. And then she said, looked right at me and said, you know, his time might be more important than yours.
Right.
It, all of that, you know, and I've, all of those years later, and it's true. So you treat every person with that dignity and honor and respect of their time and their ideas. You know, I say to you that everyone's opinion is valid, especially to that person.
Right.
And you've been involved in projects, collaborative projects here at university or in commissions, and it'll be involving 2 or 3 or 5 or 25 or 30 people. And you'll have a group discussion if it's on email or in real, you know, time. Mm-hmm. And somebody will bring up an idea or proposal or a thought or a criticism. And you'll think, where in the bloody did you come up with that? Yay or nay. But you don't say that. And you let it filter through the other people. And then you help ground that statement. And 9 times out of 10, oh, maybe all the time, maybe 10 times out of 10, it will enhance that project. Mm-hmm. That bizarre, strange idea, and sometimes makes it even better.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been, well, like when John passed.
Right.
And the piece for the Kellogg Foundation exhibit stood 16 feet tall at that point. 3, 5 feet on each of the 3 sides, and I thought it was finished. And and his suicide before the exhibit opening stemmed the crown of that piece, that sphere, which softened and completed that whole piece.
Yeah.
And it sounds a little selfish to me almost that it wouldn't have been complete without his death. But I don't think of it that way. I think it wouldn't be complete without him. Because that whole structure was, as you know, in my life, the name of it, in my life. And each of the 12 canvases represented a meaningful individual in my life, from my parents to professor to you to Dr. Maduri to other patrons. And John, in that project that I worked with John, that really changed my life. And the suicide just about did me in as far as continuing the piece that he and I had collaborated on.
Yeah.
But that helped teach you, too, that when those things happen in life, tragic, difficult, real, horrific things, you are affected by them, but you don't stop.
Right.
You keep moving forward.
Right.
And I can almost guarantee you that any, at least with me, projects I've been involved with, sometimes the most exciting, exhilarating, there will be something that does happen, that throws you off track a little bit, and you put it all in perspective, and in the big picture, it's meaningless, or not meaningless, but not as life shattering as it seems.
Right.
You know, since as far as death goes, since the beginning of time, we as humans have to endure that horrific experience, but at the same time, we have to go on.
Right.
And I used to say that to other friends, but when it happens to you, to a friend in your life or affecting you, it's true too, but you view it differently.
Of course.
It's like when you have an exhibit. You know, it's fun to do things together, to collaborate together, and when we have a mutual opening, that's spectacular. Mm. But the exhibit we're planning for you come April of next year, of 2015. Yes, I'll help install it. Yes, but you're the primary as far as designing it. It will be your work, your videos, your hardcore objects. And that will, you will know. I mean, you've done it too here in performance and collaborative exhibits, but to have a one-man show is another ballgame.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Well, and I think this is really exciting to talk about. This shift, I would say, over the course of our relationship, working and personal relationship. And I think the best way to start would be to talk about the painting. the actual process of painting. Yes. And I want to get your thoughts and your reflections on how you paint solo.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to,
and then also how you and I have painted collaboratively, because I'm always honored,
simultaneously,
and I'm always honored at the fact that we are collaborative partners in this, because there's no one else that this process has happened.
I've not heard of this,
and I really want you to speak about your process and how you paint solo first, and then maybe talk about collaboration.
Oh, definitely talk about collaboration, but in as brief as I can be, when I'm working with a patron, be it private or corporation or foundation, I set up a time. We discuss things with no interruptions. I want to know what they want the painting to feel like. Is it going to represent someone, a moment, an achievement? I need to know that. I don't take notes. I absorb everything and then promptly go in a private space and type to them what I feel that they feel the painting is to feel like. They want the painting to feel like, not look like, but feel like. Once we've nailed that, and that's 9 times out of 10, I then develop a palette from which I'm feeling, whether it's full of activity or color, or more subdued, with splashes of color, and then create a palette for them that's 3 feet long and 9 feet high, with the wide swatches of color overlaying and then slashes of perpendicular color, so they can see how all of the colors interact. These the patrons now keep them for themselves or frame the palettes, but that's how I do it. And then they are not allowed in production. I learned 30 years ago that if you allow a patron to come in, I love it. I mean, I love it when they would come in. But I had the experience very early, I think my third piece, that the person, when they saw the final product, said, well, product, where did this go? What happened to this? It's deep in there. It's no longer there.
Right.
Well, I couldn't stop that process, because it is, especially now, it's confidence and experience, and you just spontaneously do it. You create this. It's like thinking. It's like talking. It's, you don't think about each and every word.
It's always evolving.
Correct.
Right.
And you do, and some artists say it's never finished, and I think that's sort of a bunch of baloney, but you have to know when to stop too.
Yeah.
Or not stop. And if there's an area that something happens so quickly and so spontaneously that you think, oh, geez, what in the bloody did I just do? Don't get all crazy about it. Just work it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes it's sort of like someone's opinion that you think is just out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sort of like that splotch that no longer is a splotch. As it dries and then you add more layers and fineness and detail, it becomes even more rich and deep. You look at our earlier works, and then you look at works now.
Yeah.
And so, which brings me to when we're painting together, and to realize that our pieces, they're not gigantic, but they're 7 feet by 5 feet, and they will be bigger, and there will be several pieces, several canvases in one composition.
And to clarify, too, that these canvases are on sawhorses,
yeah,
horizontally.
Oh, that's correct. And thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important, because we use so much paint that when it dries, it does not run.
Right.
And when we build the stretchers, they're built with 2x4s and 1x6s. And steel supports, and you stretch the canvas around that perpendicular side and to the back. And so you paint the sides at the same time you're painting the top.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as you know, when we're working, you all of the colors are out, lush and beautiful. All of the brushes are out and loaded and on sawhorses. And we're walking around this painting. We don't stop, and you don't just stop, and you're walking the whole time. And there's one thing that you told me a couple of years ago when we were walking and talking. You said to me, what did you say? And I repeated it, and you said, oh, because that's not what I heard. Mm. And I said, tell me later. And after we stopped that passionate, frantic, structured, all of that at once painting, you said that what I was saying came out as gibberish. Well, in my mind, it wasn't gibberish. Mm-hmm. It was the words that I then told you. And I thought, huh. Because often when I'm at the computer, at my iMac, I will be typing something and I go to read it and it's gibberish.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, then that translates from verbal into my typing too.
Right.
And I just quickly stop and go back and it's beyond spell check.
I mean, it's just
gibberish.
Well, and I think that there's a really interesting notion, I think, from working with you so much, especially when we're painting together. There's constant movement. There's a performance,
yes.
A dance,
yes,
that is happening, and it's spontaneous choreography.
We should do that later.
Yeah,
with the symphony or something.
Yeah. Well, so. And what's great is that, you know, you've always said this about me just as a person, but especially when I paint too, is that I am a noisemaker of sorts.
Oh yes, you grunt and groan.
I grunt and groan.
Yes.
And in terms of affirmation,
and that made me feel better.
Yeah.
And as when I'm saying to you, when I'm noticing you not being in motion,
right?
And I say you're doing great, or this, look at this, this area, this isn't working. Yes, and then you don't respond verbally, but you respond with paint. And I said, if I say it's a little heavy with this color or if this isn't working,
right.
You get it. And right. you just grab the right paint. I don't say, sometimes I say color, particular color.
Right.
But when I say that color, you know where it goes.
Correct.
You don't just do it. You know where it goes. And that's I don't know if, I've never worked with anyone like that.
And I think this ability to, because I know how you are when you're in certain modes. So mm-hmm. To talk about the gibberish, whether it be verbal or typed out, the ability to
translate,
jump to certain synapses, you know, jump across different nodes in your brain while we're working.
Right.
It's almost like second nature. And I think the same thing on your side of me.
Absolutely.
Of knowing without speaking these behaviors or
and having
thoughts.
The confidence
correct
to just move forward,
right?
Not to try and correct. You don't correct when you it's impossible to
correct
this
right.
much paint and this much activity at once. You don't correct it. Mm-hmm. And that would stifle, that would intimidate.
Well, to stop immediately, doubt starts to set in, and
remember when we were doing the Maduri canvas?
Yeah.
And I'm not one to the pink color in nature is glorious, but most commercial pinks are just horrific and cheap looking. And much of this painting had pink in it. And when we were doing the background, it was probably 2/3 pink.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow. I don't like. Oh no, it wasn't Maduri. It was the piece that ended up at the Health Center. AJ,
correct.
It was for Mentor and Apprentice.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And I said that, and then I said, "It will work."
Right.
And we let it dry for 24 hours and started working the next day, but focused on getting rid of much of that pink.
Mm-hmm.
Just instinctively knowing, and we did it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it became beautiful. It became from nature. It was Energy and Life is the name of the piece.
Right.
And with flesh color, with life.
Dark, deep greens.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. And vibrant greens as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I feel like that painting was, for me, a galvanizing point between you and I
yep.
in terms of
yes.
The painting collaboration. That was when I felt like I came into my own in terms of starting to be
that's
the
same
half.
Painting that your father pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Holy Toledo.
Right.
Your father being a downtown policeman mm-hmm. In our hometown and having a motor scooter, not a
right.
big Harley cycle, but a scooter.
Right.
And he motored out that day 5 miles from the city to where we were painting at my home. And your pop is so cool. I mean, he was my friend in high school. Mm-hmm. And we had all of these 20-some years not seeing, 30 years not mm-hmm. seeing one another. But then he came into my life again. But really, you were more in my life. Well, when he came to the house that day, and he's not one to really totally understand it, but he appreciates it. Mm-hmm. And he walked around the painting, and he came up to me, and he thumped me on the chest with this big rough fist and said, "You're his dad, too." Mm-hmm. It just blew me away. And he gave me that look, and every time he gives me that look. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So thinking about reflections, I think, I just realized when we were talking about when we stated our ages that there's a 40 years between you and I. And I want to just think about that. And I know that this may be an overwhelming question for you, but or maybe not. But currently, I'm curious, what piece of yours stands out to you in your body of work at this age? I'm curious about that. Is it more of an interest of just always looking forward, or is there something that you feel like was a turning point that now you're reflecting on at your age?
I think perhaps the biggest turning point as far as how my work looks and has grown is with Kim and Mike's piece, because it's definitely more detailed. Mm-hmm. It's a vertical piece, 7 feet by 18 inches, just a narrow 18 inches, but it flows, but there's so much more detail into it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I think the pieces for Star Commonwealth that were to be in a transition, as you know, they call it a cottage, but it's a lovely house from the future. And by transition, as you know, is where a family will bring their child. They spend the last night with them in this house, and maybe the first night when they think that they're ready to come home after working on the problems of this child and the parents too. So we wanted something. They wanted something for the parents' room. I created that. And subject and color isn't important at this point, but I created it. And as you know, we always have an unveiling. I have custom shrouds built of black ripstop, tailored to fit each piece, so that when we take it off, there's this color, and there's always an inhale of 5 people or 500 people. And there were 5 people in this little bedroom that this, you know, with all the glass front and all, but still it was little. And they all inhaled. And then someone said, "We would like 2 more." Hmm. And I said, "Well, actually, I think one should be in the child's room respectfully, and one should be in the living room," which states to me that you're bringing everyone together. So the one from the parents' room, the palette and the feeling, and the one from the child's room, the palette and the feeling, and then the one in the living room would tie both of those together. And we won't say that, you'll feel it. Mm-hmm. So that perhaps was the biggest change in incorporating all 3 to 1, and then having you, this is the one, because you were the one, you documented.
I did.
That whole unveiling. And at the unveiling, that wasn't just with the one painting. We reveiled that painting then did the others, and we had a local, very nice bakery. We collaborated on a cake that was a scale version of my painting. And it felt like a painting. And you documented every aspect from the cake itself to the triangular pieces of cloth that were painted as napkins and the square plates that were just plate glass cut and polished. So that it was a whole experience for everyone, and they could take any part of those things home with them.
Yeah.
And to see their response, professionals' response to pieces of fine art, was incredible. And as you know, with each piece, and I trust you're doing, will do it more, there's a sentence or two with each piece at installation, because I never want my work to appear elitist. And I want everyone to understand it on some plane or all planes. And it works, you know, from little kids to ladies to men to educated, not so educated, to jocks to jerks. Mm-hmm. They always, some response to it, mm-hmm. if it's color or design.
And I think that's definitely what I've taken from you as I've moved through painting, sculpture,
and I've seen your work evolve.
Video,
there's so much, yes, there's so much appeal.
Right. And thinking about that, and how I've really come into my own because of your mentorship over these 13 years. And I think...
Just thinking 13 more years.
Well, and that's exactly what I was thinking. If where do you see our relationship in 13 years? What advice do you feel like you still have to give me for the future?
I think very much of what I've already given you, but to a greater depth of... You know, you saw some interactions this afternoon with various individuals, from Tanya to whomever. And as I was saying when we were leaving the suite, is that you treat everyone with dignity and true importance in their lives, and it returns to you. So I see us evolving with experiences, with your dance, with structure pieces, when I was talking about the sphere with the LED and someone in it, that's I was really speaking of you.
Yeah.
And then having one aspect me, one aspect you, but making it one.
Right.
And going from just canvas or structure to more immersive experiential pieces.
Yeah.
Walking into an environment where floor, wall, and ceiling is all LED and can be any image. And as you're in that space, turning, and you're part of that space, the people coming to it.
Yeah. Working together to make more immersive pieces that appeal to even more people than we could have ever imagined.
Correct.
Great.